Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah on Mount Carmel says, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Some of you haven't made up your mind. Some of you want to stay, as it were, on both sides. And Jeremiah is saying you can't do that. You can't just have an outward confession without the reality in your heart.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. No one can live a perfect life. We all make mistakes. We all fail. So in His grace, God offers us the free gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And to receive this gift, we have only to repent and put our trust in Him. Today on The Verdict, we'll learn why a repentant heart is necessary for an authentic faith. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, we've been learning that the nation of Israel had forgotten God. In fact, it was worse than that. Not only did they forget God, they turned to false gods, to idols. It's difficult to imagine that a nation which was so blessed would turn from the living and true God and erect idols. But that is exactly what happened. Ancient Israel is not the only nation which has forsaken God. We in the United States have marginalized God and in many cases, totally forgotten Him. We've made idols of ourselves, our own desires and lifestyles. But in today's message, we're going to think of life at the crossroads. For all of us, there comes a time of decision, a time when God speaks to us and reveals Himself.
Jeremiah preached more about repentance than any other prophet. And today, I want us to think, as we look at the book of Jeremiah, to think of the subject of repentance. Repentance nowadays is not a very popular word, is it? Who wants to repent? It sounds so negative, old-fashioned. Something maybe our grandfathers did, but not us. Who wants to be told that they have to repent? Well, when Jesus began His public ministry, Mark records in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And at the end of the ministry of our Lord, as He's commissioning His disciples, as recorded in Luke chapter 24, we read this, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all the nations. Repentance was the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. On that great day of Pentecost, when Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, rises to preach, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent. Have you repented? Let's turn to Jeremiah and read from Jeremiah chapter 7. Verses 1 through 15. This is Jeremiah's famous temple message. He goes into the temple and he gives this strong, solemn message to the nation. And we're going to read it and we're going to consider the call for Israel to repent, but also God's call for you and for me to repent. Here's the word of God then. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words of no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal and go after gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered? only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you've done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to your fathers and to you, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim. Can you imagine Jeremiah, this young man, standing in the temple and declaring this very, very solemn words, calling the nation to repentance and warning them, if you do not repent, this will happen. See, without repentance, there is no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Israel's spiritual condition before God was very, very dire. Tragically, Israel, at this time in Jeremiah 7, had a false sense of security. Do you know what they're saying here in verse 7? Jeremiah says, don't trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Israel knew that there were enemies. They had the enemy of Egypt to the south, the enemy of Babylon to the north, but they thought they were secure. Surely God would not allow the temple to be destroyed. This was the temple built by the great Solomon. There it stood in all of its magnificence at the very center of Jerusalem. This was the place of worship, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts. Surely God would not allow his temple to be destroyed by pagans. What were they doing? They were trusting in their religiosity. They were trusting in their spiritual heritage. Because they had the temple, they thought they were safe. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But they were deceiving themselves. They also knew the Abrahamic covenant, that great covenant entered into by their forefather Abraham, a covenant promising land and seed and blessing to them. And they assumed, because of the Abrahamic covenant, that they were invulnerable as a nation. It was unthinkable to them that God would allow the temple to be destroyed. But God, through Jeremiah, is calling them to repent. Verse 3, amend your ways and your deeds. And if you don't repent, the temple, yes, this temple is going to be destroyed. Temple worship will not prevent the judgment of God. And he says, remember Shiloh. Verse 12, go now to my place that was in Shiloh. What was the place in Shiloh? That was the place where the tabernacle was. When Israel came into the promised land, according to Joshua 18, verse 1, they made Shiloh, which is at the center of the nation, the place where the tabernacle was erected. And there it stands. But it's a place of utter desolation. What was Shiloh to the nation? Shiloh was a reminder to the nation that God had judged the nation in the past. Yes, that's where the tabernacle, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was when the people first came into the land. That was where the land of Israel was divided among the 12 tribes. It happened in Shiloh. Shiloh was the place, remember, where Hannah came and prayed for a child. Shiloh was the place where the boy Samuel ministered in the tabernacle with Eli. But what happened? They fell into apostasy. They go to war against the Philistines. And what do? They take the Ark of the Covenant as a kind of symbol that because we've got the Ark of the Covenant, we're going to win. They were trusting in the Ark of the Covenant rather than in the true God, and they're defeated. But from the time of Joshua through the time of Samuel, the tabernacle was in Shiloh. Now it's desolate. And Jeremiah is saying to them, you're trusting in the temple, Solomon's temple. Remember your history. Go back and remember Shiloh, the place of desolation. That will happen to you unless you repent. Israel thought they were invincible because they had the Ark of the Covenant. Instead of trusting in God, they forgot God. They put their trust in the Ark. And Jeremiah is saying, don't put your trust in the temple. It will not save you. The desolation of Shiloh is a reminder that the temple in Jerusalem, with all of its magnificence, yes, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, that will not exempt you from God's judgment. That does not guarantee your security. You must repent. What a solemn message. You say, well, what would this repentance look like? Jeremiah tells us. Look at verses 5 and 6. If you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another. You know, God's people are to be people of justice, people of integrity, how we treat others. We respect people, even those who disagree with us. We respect the integrity of each individual. When we do business, we are just. We don't deceive people. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We want a society which is just, which is fair. We want law courts which are just. We want police officers who are just. We want judges who are just, who don't take bribes, who are not corrupt. We want politicians who are just. An evidence of repentance. First, justice. Verse 6, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow. There is a sign that the nation has repented the way they treat the sojourner, the immigrant. In that society, these were the oppressed people. They were marginalized. They lived in the shadows, as it were. And a nation which is truly repentant before God is going to demonstrate their repentance by the way they treat the marginalized, the poor, the lonely, the childless, the widow, the immigrant. Rather than exploit them, rather than taking advantage of them, true repentance will be demonstrated by not oppressing these people. But there's more. Or shed innocent blood in this place. Part of the commandment, of course, thou shalt not commit murder. We don't murder people. We don't kill people. Increasingly in our country, we've got a violent country. No, as the people of God who are repentant, we don't shed innocent blood. We realize that each individual is made in the image of God. No, we don't kill the unborn. We don't believe in abortion. We don't put to death the elderly with euthanasia. No, we don't shed innocent blood. We respect that each individual is made by God, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the other one is, if you do not, verse 6, go after other gods to your own harm. Idolatry. Idolatry. We're going to think of that more fully next week, Lord willing. How did Israel come? They had violated the commandments of God, but they still felt secure because they had the magnificent temple. What's the point? The point is a very convicting one, and it is this. Religious observance without humble obedience will not save you. You can have all of the religion, but without humble obedience before God, there is no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. There's a story in the Old Testament of Israel's first king, Samuel. Samuel tells the first king, Saul, to obliterate the Amalekites, Israel's enemy, pagans. And Saul goes to war, but he doesn't obey the commandment of God. He keeps back some of the animals. And when Samuel comes, Samuel says, well, how's it going? And Saul says, oh, very, very well. And Samuel says, I hear the bleating of sheep and the lowing of cattle. What have you done? And Saul says, well, you know, the people wanted to keep some of them to make offerings to the Lord. He uses his own selfishness to rationalize what he's done. And Samuel says to him, no, obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hear is better than the fat of rams. In other words, God wants from you, first and foremost, not sacrifices, not ritualism. He wants from you obedience. And Jeremiah is calling the people to repent. And that repentance is going to be demonstrated by them amending their ways. Again, verse 3, amend your ways and your deeds. Verse 23, obey my voice. No disobedience, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and went backward rather than forward. Anyone here going backward in their spiritual life? Used to be called backsliders, somebody who went back. Instead of going forward with the Lord, we go back. And Jeremiah says, now, unless you repent, you're going to be destroyed. And the temple is going to be destroyed. And you know, we know from Jeremiah and from other scriptures, and we know from secular history, that the Babylonians came and utterly destroyed the temple and took the people into exile because they did not repent. What about our spiritual condition? See, when we forsake God, inevitably we worship other gods. We disobey God. How are we doing as a nation? Our nation largely has forgotten how to blush. Look at Jeremiah 6, verse 15. Jeremiah says, we could write this about America today, couldn't we? Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown. We commit sin instead of being ashamed, instead of having guilt. No, we've forgotten how to blush. We're not ashamed. Rather than blushing, we take pride in our sin, don't we? And we're upset if other people don't applaud our sin. But what about us here? Do you think, because you come to worship service on a Sunday, because you sing some hymns, because you might perhaps even serve, and you may attend a Bible study, you may give some money, do you think because of that, God is going to accept you? The message of Jeremiah is this, that authentic repentance, authentic Christianity must make a difference as to how we live. Paul says this in the New Testament. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In other words, there's a radical difference between those who have repented authentically and those who only confess to have repented. Pursuing false gods. You're living in a disobedience to the word of God. You say, yeah, but I still am a Christian. But you're deliberately disobeying God. You've embraced the pagan culture around us. And if you do that, all of your churchianity, all of your religiosity, all of your good deeds will not exempt you from God's judgment. Shiloh is an example. Any Shilohs today, do you think? You know, in Europe, there are many Shilohs. Some of you have traveled, even in my native Scotland, throughout Europe, and there's these beautiful buildings, churches. I go back to Edinburgh. I see, even over the last 30 or 40 years since I was a student at Edinburgh University, I see some churches. You know what they are now? They're bars, they're restaurants, they're theaters, they're Shilohs. God's judgment has come. They abandoned God. They went through a form of worship, but without reality, and now they are desolate. Now they have totally sold out to the pagan culture. Do we think we're exempt? Do you think because of our heritage, because of our tradition, that couldn't happen? It can happen, and can I say it will happen, unless we adhere to the gospel and to obeying the word of God. What's the answer to all of this? The answer is repentance. There must be authentic repentance before God. And this morning I want to give three important things about authentic repentance. This is basic to the Christian life. This is basic Christianity, but it's often ignored. Authentic repentance, first of all, means an acknowledgement of our specific sins. Look back to chapter 3, Jeremiah 3, verse 13. What Jeremiah is saying to them, only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Acknowledging your specific sins. See, biblical repentance is not easy, is it? Biblical repentance has the component of a deep burden about the shame and the guilt of our sin. A.W. Tozer writes, "Beware of vain and overhasty repentance. Particularly, let us beware of no repentance at all." Regret, shame, tears may all be present without authentic repentance before God. Prisons are full of people who say they're sorry. Sorry they've been caught. Sorry for themselves. Sorry for the consequences of their wrongdoing, no doubt, but often no true repentance. The Westminster Confession of Faith states that men ought not to content themselves with a general repentance, but it is every man's duty to endeavor to repent of his particular sins particularly. Do you get that? To repent of his particular sins particularly.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Life at the Crossroads. Be sure to keep listening because John will be back with his closing remarks in just a moment. As we continue this brand new study in the book of Jeremiah, we want to equip you with John's brand new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. This thought-provoking biblical guide will help you explore many key themes and lessons found throughout the book of Jeremiah and the application for our lives today. Israel had forgotten God, and Jeremiah was called to preach a difficult message of repentance and judgment. There are many parallels to our modern society, so get your copy of John's booklet, When a Nation Forgets God, by going to our website at theverdict.org. While you're there, we also encourage you to take the opportunity to help us reach new listeners with the life-changing truth of God's Word by supporting our radio ministry with a donation. Your support will help us continue bringing these biblical messages to those who desperately need to hear the truth about sin, salvation, and the love of God. So please give today and help us reach more listeners by going online to theverdict.org. And by the way, we'd be thrilled to have you join us for our worship services this weekend at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, home of The Verdict. To find directions and details, or to worship with us via our live stream online, just go to theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Where are you in your life? Are you happy with where you are spiritually? It is possible that you've wandered away from God. Perhaps like Israel, you've forgotten him. Are you at the crossroads? Which way are you going to turn? How would you assess your spiritual condition before God? Will you repent? Turn from your sin? Call upon the name of the Lord and so be saved? This is a fascinating study, and one which you don't want to miss, so tune in next time.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict.
I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.